Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Welcome, guys, to the very last episode of the year 24. Here in the year 24, the last swinging day. Hours away from the year 2025. Good googly moogly. When I was a little boy, I thought that by now I would have a George Jetson ray gun and I would have a robot and all that. But I'm going to tell you this, I'm not letting no robot into my house. Now that I know about robots, that ain't going to happen. On today's episode, I'm going to be summing up the year. We're going to be looking at some of my favorite pictures from this last year. I'm going to be telling some of my favorite stories. And also, guys, we're going to be looking at not so famous biblical last words of people. It's a fascinating study. And then we're going to be looking at famous last words. It's all about finishing well. And guys, I want to welcome you here. So that's going to be my job. And then your job is going to be to like this, to share this, to comment. You know what? Are you one of the 40-something thousand subscribers that joined us this last year? Or are you one of the millions of people, more than 6 million people that saw our videos but did not subscribe? Come on, man. Get in a fight. Simply subscribe. Man, you want the bell to ring. You want that to happen whenever we go live. And I encourage you guys to do that. Please, please, please do that. I also want to say this to you. If at any time during this broadcast you need a friend or you need a prayer, you can call us at 877-413-0888. Again, it's 877-413-0888. Now, joining me here, sitting at the table here today, is my son, Mr. Benjamin Allen Brewer. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little bit frazzled. I've just gone from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. It's all different stuff. And but I'm good. I'm finishing well today.
Good. Kind of caught me off guard too. I was writing down names and I wasn't expecting you to throw it to me.
There you go, man. Right on. Well, it's good to see you, buddy. So who else on here? I know there's people from all over the planet.
Well, there's a ton of people here. We actually have South Africa in here and we have Liski from South Africa. We also had Uganda in here. Then we also have Charles Jones from Cleburne, Charity from Burleson.
I see Canada.
Yep,
Canada. Oh, Canada. Oh,
Shanty. Hey, Shanty, how are you? Then we have Tabitha in here. We have Belinda from Glen Rose, Texas in here.
Come on, big time G-Town.
We have Ron from Joshua. Man. We have Tina from Kansas City. We have Susan from Georgia. We have Mary from SEMA. Assuming I say how it's... How you say it? Excuse me.
SEMA, California. Come on, hey, man. Come on,
S-I-M-E.
Well, didn't all that homeschooling take? Didn't all that homeschooling take, son?
Oh, is it Simi or Semi or?
Yeah, Simi, California.
Simi, California, right?
Simi, California. Yeah, there you go. Anyway.
We would say Semi, that's not what they
that's
say.
That's where my redneck was kicking in. I was trying to figure it out.
But it's kind of like Vacaville. Yeah. They don't say Vacaville.
It's Vacaville.
They say Vacaville. That's correct.
Anyway, we also have William and Debbie from Alabama, and we have many others. Be sure to look me up in the chat. Tell me where you're from. Like Kitty from Florida. Good to see you, too. Looks like Julie is in California.
Man, there's a lot of people in here. Guys, thank y'all so much, man, for joining us. I'm so glad that you guys are here. And thank y'all that you've been with us all year long. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, do you call it Simi or do you call it Semi? Some say tomato, I say Tamayo, right? Rebecca Tamayo is here. How are you?
Good, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing very good. I'm doing very good. Blowing and going.
Yeah, it's been go, go, go.
It is always go, go, go. It always is. And just got off the phone with some very heavy things just right before I sit down. I'm trying to work it out process in my head. Yeah, I'm trying to process it. But dude, every single day is like a whole lifetime around here.
Yeah, I think it's better to be doing busy, but doing the work of the Lord than not busy and doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing.
Oh.
So I'm very grateful.
No doubt. No doubt.
So it's such an honor to be here and to be able to say the road's not done. We have a long way to go, but we get to end on a good note, start with the good note too tomorrow. We're excited. Yeah,
no, I just got through also with a pastor's meeting and I did the whatever pastor needs to know video. And then I met with all of our pastors and the ones that are here this week and met with those guys and a couple of girls, including my beautiful bride. And we were talking about, look, guys, we cannot dismiss how the Lord moved for us this year. Mm-hmm. Man, we can't, man. Yeah. It's incredible. And then we talked about, there's a whole bunch of things I talked about. I was kind of giving them a heads up for my prophetic word for the year to come. Also did a big Charisma News magazine. I did a big interview with them, with those guys this morning and John Matarazzo. Wow. And that was a lot of fun. And talking about the new year to come, the year 2025, the year 5785. What do we see coming around the pike? And tomorrow, I'm actually going to be delivering that prophetic word.
So yeah, we're excited for
that's
that.
That's actually going to happen tomorrow. Pastor Troy's prophetic word for 2025. Guys, I'm going to deliver the first bull out of the chute tomorrow. Amen. And it's going to happen here at 1 o'clock. So we're not doing the pulse tomorrow. We're doing my prophetic word for the year to come. Now, this is specifically the slant of the numbers and the scriptures that go with it and the emphasis that actually go with those things. Mm-hmm. And then also tomorrow, I begin my annual 10-day fast, and a whole bunch of the staff, like all the pastors, man, they're all fasting. There's several of our pastors that are fasting 40 days.
Yeah, I heard some of them are doing like there's different types of fast. Yeah. What are you hearing in the spirit? Can you give us a little sneak peek of what the spirit has been talking
right
to you about?
Right now, I have billions of fat cells that are trying to encourage me not to go on a fast. Billions. And I'm like, no, I'm going to do this. And I go through that every single year. But it's like, no, man, yeah. This is going to be a great privilege. Yeah, man, there are some huge things that I see. To me, it is so clear that God is speaking this. Amen. It is so clear. And There's a few of those things, but one of those things is this, man. As we move from the year of the open door to the year of the open window, a big difference between the door and the window is that when God Almighty opens up a door, He is inviting you into a place. When God Almighty opens up a window, He is invading your space.
Amen.
And this is a year that God's going to show up, like it or not, ready or not. And if you're compatible with Him, it's going to be so good, because this is a year of manifold grace and favor. It's the year of the double five, whether it's the Hebrew year, 5785, or whether it is a Gregorian calendar year, 2025, and that's five times five. And that's also a big prophetic word that God gave me for this year, is five by five, which means loud and clear.
Amen.
That's
We're
a
ready.
Military term for loud and clear. I think there's some very real loud and clear words that is very loud, very clear, no distortion, none of those things. So,
wow. That's
so I'll
cool.
be bringing that tomorrow. Well, you know what? Mrs. Wilbur.
Hi.
I was at your house last night.
Yes, you were. We did Hanukkah.
We did Hanukkah. Aww, Me and your husband hung out. You hung out with my bride, and then your kids hung out with all of us.
Yeah. Aww.
And we did Hanukkah, and we sang Hanukkah songs, which I'd never even heard those songs before.
Hanukkah at the Wilbers. Although my five-year-old was trying to break in with Jingle Bells. I'm like,
he did bust in.
I think we have pictures from it, Taylor.
He did actually bust in. Yeah, I don't know if we have any pictures of that.
Oh, yeah.
Shiloh.
Yep, that was a lot of fun.
Lighting the candles.
Yeah, man, we lit candles. We had a good time. We ate some amazing food. We hung out with friends and with family, and it was beautiful. And I was like, wow, Leanna. Do you realize we're celebrating Hanukkah with real Jews?
Wow. You were, yep.
I love that.
That's kind of like going to a rodeo with a real Texan.
Yep.
That's a fun thing too.
Which is a fun
thing.
That's
a fun thing too. But
like,
yeah, it was cool.
I've joined you guys by video.
Yeah.
I've done that for Shabbat a whole bunch of times. And then also too, just with friends and whatnot, I've joined, I've been on special broadcasts where I was with all my friends in Israel, and it was Hanukkah or it was something else, Yom Kippur or something else. And we had talks about it. But to actually be at your house last night was such a big privilege.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad, you know, you're so busy. And we were just honored that you took out time from your schedule to come over. We've been wanting to do this for months to have you guys over. And it was just cool that it ended up happening on Hanukkah.
Dude, and your husband's such a good cook.
He is.
I don't know if you're a good cook or not.
There's a reason he cooked it.
Okay, dude.
I'm sure you cook good.
That brother is a cook, man.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
He just likes good food, which of course we all do, but he takes the time.
But he understands what's good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't understand that. Yeah. Listen, man, everybody, like Ben calls me now, he calls me Bougie Bob.
He's Bougie Bob. Now listen, growing up, we ate like Spam sandwiches.
Yeah,
stuff
like
that.
We were like,
I love bologna sandwiches.
Not anymore. Well, I got old and I learned what I like.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a while to learn what you like. Oh, I know what I like. Mm-hmm. And I know, and here's what's real is, I like anything that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's good. Yeah, you know, it's like, well, I don't know if I'd like fish or whatever. You would if it was good.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, it's like anything. And so anyway, what your husband fixed for us last night was good.
Thank you for coming over. I'll let him know. I'll relay the message. He'll be happy.
One of the things that you and I are excited about today is we just got word from Amazon that my new book, Numbers That Prophesy, is number one on Pentecostal and Charismatic Christianity.
Cool.
Number one bestseller. Number one bestseller. That's pretty damn crazy.
That is cool. And from what they said, I mean, they haven't given us the actual numbers yet.
Yep.
But from what your publishers have told us, like, they have been so impressed with how it's done already. And it's just, you know, we're still in like launch month right now.
Yeah, no. So. Yeah. I mean, me and Ben's been working hard on the audio version. Mm-hmm. We're going to get that done this week. We're going to relaunch that like next week. And we're going to do all kinds of stuff. And guys, I want to just listen, go and write a review. If you've read the book, go and write a positive review. If you write an ugly review, the Lord Jesus is watching you. And I'm like one of his very favorites.
I will encourage it. And I will make fun of it.
Do you know what? Not only has this been not just delete all the hateful mail I get, he prints it up and puts it on the wall. And then he makes fun of me. Have you seen that? Have you seen that?
No, I don't think I have.
Just walked by it.
Taylor, I'm going to send you a video. Hold on a second.
It's called The Skunk Wall. And he's like, Dad. And he prints it up and puts it up there for me to see it. Like, Dad, have you seen?
Have you seen this comment?
My kids think it's really.
People will always have something to say.
Yes.
And to me, like, I don't know. I leave some of those. If I get some of those comments, sometimes the bad comments, then it causes the good people to rise up and defend you. And it can be good. It can be good. So, you know, I just feel like people are always going to have something to say about what you're doing.
Well, I honestly, listen, man, I want to just tell you this. It will not offend me. Whoever doesn't like this book, it will not offend me, because you have to have a certain level of intelligence to be able to like this book.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah, no,
actually, man, I get it that a lot of people just think I'm a nut. I mean, they're like, that is the silliest. Man, you think that God speaks, that is the craziest thing ever. And you think that God speaks through history? Yeah. You think that God speaks through numbers? You're a nut. Okay, I totally get it.
Until they have an encounter.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Until they have an encounter, until Jesus shows up and they're like, whoa. Amen.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
They're like, let me get that Pastor Troy book now.
I was watching weirdo Jim Carrey video last night. I mean, the brother is out there, right? But I want to just tell you, man, whenever he first came out with, what is his show? It's like the funniest thing he ever did. What is it?
Ace Ventura.
Okay.
The Mask
is classic. But whenever the night before the movie was released, Roger Ebert and who was the other guy? It was
Siskel and Ebert?
Yeah, exactly right. They came out and they said, worst movie I've ever seen.
What?
I mean, they came out with this thing. I mean, the hate that they put on Jim Carrey was so visceral. And he's like, wow. And then the movie came out. The whole world loved it. And they came out a year later, dedicated an entire show. And they said, we had no grid for him and we were wrong.
Wow.
We had never seen anything like that before. And we thought it was the stupidest thing ever. The guy is a genius. Now, it was the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah.
But Jim Carrey on this video, he's crying and going, those guys dedicated an entire show to go, he was right. We were wrong.
Wow.
We just didn't have a clue. And part of that, when it comes to prophetic things, I get it that, you know, I just get it that not everybody's going to get this because it is a little bit weird and it is a little bit out there. And so, but I want to tell you this, eventually everybody will get it.
Yeah, and I think you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And like you said, it's not your job to convince anyone to get it. Mm-hmm. At some point, it'll probably happen in their life or they'll be presented with something that is so undeniably God speaking through the numbers or the timing or prophetic or whatever.
Yep.
And then they'll go crazy trying to figure out, okay, who can help me discern these signs?
And
that's why we have voices like yours. So
I love it.
Have your first reaction to seeing The Skunk Wall, if you want to show that. The video we did yesterday.
First reaction to the skunk wall of all the...
Okay. What are you talking about? Yeah, exactly. I haven't seen this video.
That's all
this
your
is my
face.
Show. Ben built me the skunk wall.
Look how happy you are there. Look at there.
This guy just went to cannonball to the lake of lava. That's
the thing. Oh, my goodness.
If you follow Trump, you're going straight to hell. I love the skunk wall.
This is great.
I feel like I've arrived.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Okay, Ben. That was a good idea.
That's something only Ben could do, too.
I know. And the girls, I guarantee you, the girls were really worried.
Yeah,
they were like, please.
They were panicking.
Yeah.
They were
like,
please don't show them this.
Do you remember that time, man, that me and you went in there and your two sisters, Megan and Rayma, they were literally going through a mountain of hate mail.
Oh, yeah.
And they were crying. Do you remember?
I do.
They were And this was snail mail hate mail. And they were crying and like, what's going on? Because my team had hidden all that from me. And I was like, and Megan was like, Daddy, don't read it. Daddy, don't read it. Please don't read it. And I was like, let me see that. And me and you started going,
ah. Oh, we laughed.
The girls were just sitting there watching us like, oh my.
I'm like, look, that's amazing.
Listen, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I tell you.
Yeah, no, I remember that was a great day. That was the start of the whole skunk thing.
It was a skunk thing. I would wear a skunk hat and I would answer people's hate mail. And I was be really funny about it. And then I say, you've been skunked. You
know? Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I didn't know
that's where the whole skunk thing comes from.
I was wondering where that comes from.
Yeah, I have a skunk hat.
That's amazing.
I would wear that whenever people would be ugly to me. And so anyway, I don't know. It's just kind of fun.
You got to have fun with it.
You do got to have fun with it.
Talking about voices and prophetic and people saying things about you, I think you pretty much nailed it. Charisma Magazine said, put you on the top 5 greatest prophetic words of 2024.
Okay.
Look at that.
Come on now.
So you do know what you're saying. God is speaking and it's an honor.
Yep.
Yeah, they put me right up there with Kim Clement.
Yeah, I know.
Right on, which is crazy cool. Of course, Joseph Z is on there.
Yeah, Joseph.
Yeah, Jonathan Joseph Kahn.
And Jonathan Kahn. And then they put me on there like, what the heck?
To be listed in that crew? All right, sign me up for that church.
Yeah,
well, that's just the Lord.
They literally, Decoding Heaven's Message, Spiritual Meanings of 2024 Great Eclipse, American Eclipse.
Yeah, that was...
That's cool.
And that was one of the coolest things we did all year long, was the American Eclipse thing. And it was. And I want to tell you a couple of different things. I'll tell you what, I was about to lead off into this, but... But the one that happened in 2017, 7 years before the one that happened in 2024, where the two of them cross is exactly at this place, right? Okay, this is where they cross at. Okay, a few months after the Great American Eclipse, there was a hurricane that formed in the Gulf of Mexico. It somehow went right past all these different states, and it landed right there where the two of them crossed together.
Wow.
It landed right there. And by the way, when they took a picture of it from the satellite, this is what it looked like.
Wow.
Yeah, that's Hurricane Helene.
That's crazy. Wow.
It's like a head.
Yeah.
It does.
Mm-hmm. So, but Bama, my favorite thing that happened with the American Eclipse we had one of the greatest church services ever. We didn't capture it very well. We put a camera on the sun and decided to watch the sun for 4 hours, which I don't know to this day why we did that, but we...
Because NASA did it.
Yeah. We had one of the greatest services ever. I'm telling you, ever. In the history of all of our church services. And when I went back and watched it, it was just a picture of the sun. I was like, okay, yeah. I see. But with that said, we had people from all over the United States. They came here. We were out there on the porch. It was so good. It was so awesome. It was so ridiculous. And the Spirit of the Lord's moon, we also did baptisms in it. There was, on that one day, there was 400 and something baptisms. And that was crazy. But one of the things that I prophesied in the midst of all that by simply just looking at the numbers was I told them, I said, look, this is the sign of Jonah the prophet.
Amen.
And Jonah the prophet prophesied 40 days from now is Judgment Day.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So that's what he did. And he did that on the first of Elul. And 40 days from that is Yom Kippur. And it is Judgment Day. It's the Day of Atonement. Wow. And he's like, you guys got 40 days and it's over.
Wow.
Okay. So I was like, guys... Yeah. The enemies of America and Israel had better fear and tremble because something is going to happen 40 days after April the 8th. Mm. Okay, you know what happened 40 days after April the 8th? The Iranian prime minister dropped from the sky and died.
Yes, in that helicopter.
In that helicopter. That happened 40 days to the day.
Yeah.
Another big event is I put out a post. And I don't even remember what the date was, but it was at the beginning of the year. It was like January, February. And God gave me this date. And I'm sorry that I don't remember the date. I'm just doing this off the top of my head. I wasn't planning on talking about this. But I put it out there. I did a bunch of tweets. And then we also did when it comes to the year to come, I told everybody, God gave me this date. This date is a big deal, and we need to pray about this date. We need to pray about it.
Yeah.
And then, so all of my tribe, all my stage 2 and all my stage 3 people, at ODX, man, they're all like, okay. So they'd be like, 5 days later, we're going to look in the news. 6 days later, we're going to look in the news. 3 days later, we're going to look in the news. And boom, we woke up. And that was the day that the Francis Scott Key Bridge imploded.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Wow.
I'll give you another day. And this was not last year. This was almost 3 years ago now. I was telling everybody, when it comes to dates, it's just about looking at the numbers and knowing what the numbers mean and just going, man, there's not much telling what King Jesus is going to do.
Yeah, man.
There was the great, there's this, and this is going to happen again this year, but it's different. And I don't want to go off into it because I'm about to start talking about time and space. But we had it was called the Great Planetary Parade. And it only happens once ever, I don't know, a long, long, long time. It'll certainly only happen once within your own lifetime, where not only do all the planets line up, but they line up in the order. So it's like, okay, you see how Venus is before Mercury? Mm-hmm. Okay, on the Great Planetary Parade, it's Mercury first, and then it's Venus, and then you get to the Earth, so then it's the Moon. You can't see Neptune with your naked eye, but then you can see Mars, and then you can see Jupiter, and then you can see Saturn. Oh, so it lines up the seven that you can see without a telescope. They are in the perfect order in the sky. So we had the Great Planetary Parade. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I was telling everybody, man, I wonder what's going to happen on the day of the apex of the Great Planetary Parade. And by the way, it's during the month of the woke parades.
What?
And I was like, okay, while we got, all the parades, it's during the woke month of parades. Mm. God Almighty had his own parade in the heavens. And so I get up that day. And I want to get up because you can only see all five of those things in line just before the sun comes up. Wow. Because the first two, Mercury and Venus, they're close to the sun. So it's got to be right before mm-hmm. you can only see the stars right before the sun comes up or right after the sun goes down. So I got up, went down there, and I got a mean old horse, and he doesn't like me. And he was standing over there making all of his noises at me. I got two beautiful donkeys, and they love me. And I'm looking at the stars. I'm like, God, what great and beautiful thing are you going to do today on the midst of this? Whatever it is, King Jesus, I give you glory and honor and praise. I see it. God, you're lining things up. I go inside, turn on my television in the barn, and boom, Roe v. Wade was overturned that day.
Wow.
That is
now that come yeah, on, that's, yeah. Man.
That is
that's so cool.
And I thought it was like a parody or something. When I turned it on, I was like, and it says Roe v. Wade overturned, and I was like,
no way,
no way, no way, no way. And started flipping around and going, oh my gosh, it actually was overturned, and it was overturned on the day of the planetary parade.
Wow.
The heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. The firmament shows his handiwork.
I was just going to say a verse that came up yesterday when we were filming that I had never seen in this context was from Acts 2:18-19. It's talking about in the last days.
Come on.
And it was so
cool. What does
cool.
it say? What does it say?
So, there you go. Acts 2:18. We'll start with 2:18, but 19 is the kicker. But even, and on my... On my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, the last days. They shall prophesy.
And then it tells 19, what they will see.
I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke.
Amen.
So crazy. We always stop on the prophesy part, but then it says where they will see prophecy is in the heaven wonders above the and above. Signs in the earth beneath. Signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Now, what's cool is on February the 19th, there's something crazy that happens in the sky. And we actually filmed some videos on it yesterday.
Yep. Yeah, we've got heavenly happenings. And we're actually going to start filming these videos where Pastor Troy highlights the heavenly happenings that are happening each month. And so we filmed our first bit of it. And February 19th, I'm pulling it up here on my thing. Venus. February 19th is the crescent. Yeah, the crescent Venus.
Yeah, and it shows up in Capricorn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? And it is like the brightest.
Yep.
It's the brightest Venus is going to be all year, and it's called a crescent Venus, and it shows up in Capricorn, and that happens on 2/19. And Acts chapter 2, verse 19 says that you'll prophesy by seeing things in the heavens.
Amen.
And so cool. So we did a whole video on that.
I'm so excited.
And
then
every month we're going to come out with a new video that's called Heavenly Happenings for that month to come.
Yeah, I'm excited because really this is something that, you know, we've talked about it, but like most pastors don't dive into this stuff. I grew up thinking that like, you know, like the fact that you said Capricorn and Virgo and talking about the constellations, I grew up thinking that was like, no, the devil, like you don't talk about that. I didn't really know why, but I just knew you don't talk about it. So to me, it's cool to like have a pastor that not only talks about it, but like shows you and unpacks it and explains why we can talk about it and how God actually speaks through the stars in the sky and all of that.
Well, in everybody else's defense, you got to be a big time nerd to like all this stuff.
But
and I like totally nerd out. I'm talking about next level.
I think it's like, I think it's pretty cool.
It's so cool. Yeah. Like yesterday when we were filming, I literally was like, I was standing there thinking like, this could be like a college course. I mean, it's so niche and I feel like no one talks about it. And so
we're
going to
talk about it a lot in the year to come. We're going to be looking at heavenly events. We're going to be making videos on this. It's going to be so much fun. Guys, if you have a question for me, I want you to, before you ask your question, I want you to put question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. And then that way they'll be easy to find. If you put four question marks before that, I stole that from my good friend, Alan DeDio, who I just got through doing, which by the way, his son did my cover.
Beautiful.
And I mean, there's also hidden things on the binding on the outside there's hidden things on the back. And so it's got all kinds of prophetic stuff all over the cover. And Evan DeDio did that. Way to go, Evan DeDio.
I know when you said question mark, I'm like, okay. Yeah. I saw you.
That's exactly right. If you got a question, guys, we're going to enter into questions and answers here within the next few minutes. And then also, my friends, do not forget that tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be preaching my prophetic word for the year to come. Pastor Troy's prophetic word for 2025. Amen. And we're going to be going through all these kinds of things. So you want to join me? Guys, we're going to put a graphic up on my social media. In fact, I think that we already have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Share that on your social media. Please, please, please do that. And I've had a lot of people tell me that they're having trouble finding our documentary and our commercials and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to get with my team today and we're going to look through that. And we're going to make sure that you're also able to share those things. Because as we go into the new year, we are more determined than ever to rescue boys and girls out of the horrors of sexual slavery. And guys, we are killing it. I'm telling you, guys, we're killing it. I can't even keep up with it. Okay. All right. So we have some pictures of some of my favorite things from the last year. And you guys pulled these up because I went through my Twitter and I just started, I was trying to spend an evening just, hey, going through my phone because I was going through my phone, Shay, because I was like planning on, hey, I'll tell everybody what happened in January and February. It's too much. It's just too much.
It's too much.
We went to so many places.
Well, this is why we basically, you know, if you come to our church during offering time, I always say our offering times are like our impact report for the week. A lot of churches do an impact report for the year. And that's where they talk about their impact of the nations. Well, we literally are doing so much every single week that we have to do that every week. So it doesn't surprise me that you have a hard time when you sit down with your phone. Okay, how can I do the highlights? It's literally, there's so much. And even looking back through your pictures, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. And that, and we did that and that. It's just, it's crazy.
I did 15 missions trips last year.
Wow. That's insane.
So I went on 15 missions trips between January and December. And we did a ton of stuff last year.
Yeah.
And so we're, we're a busy bunch. And this last year was your first year to be with us.
My first year.
And we're a different animal, aren't we?
Yeah. But it's a fun one. It's a fun animal. I mean, I think since being on the team, I've been to Mexico 5 times in the past and I've only been here officially like 5 months. So Mexico, I mean, it's really incredible and being able to like see the work firsthand that we do and meet the rescues and now form relationships with some of the rescues. Like it's so cool. You're wearing one of our new rescuer hats.
Ah, I forgot. We got brand new swag. We got brand new swag. You got brand new swag.
Yeah. So we have new merch that will only be available at the New Beginnings Conference.
Yeah, that's January where we're dropping it.
15, 16, 17, and 18. You're not going to want to miss what these are the new ones. He's wearing one. We got little Stanley stoppers for your straw.
What the heck is that?
So this is a trend right now where you buy your Stanley and you put stickers like Troy Brewer, let's just say, I don't know, any.
Really? You put stickers on your.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. People
literally buy all. I love how they did the Stanley, but this is, it says, taking on hell with the water pistol. Troy
Taking Brewer. On hell with the water
Look
pistol.
Look at that.
And it helps it to not spill. So when you knock it over, if you're clumsy like me, always knocking over
but you're
your
water
drinking
bottles. Water in style.
Yeah.
My goodness. Well, guys, I hope that you guys are planning on being there at the New Beginnings Conference. You can get your tickets at troybrewer.com. Mm-hmm. You go to events and then find the Breath of God New Beginnings Conference. You can sign up for the whole kit and caboodle, or you can sign up for just a couple of nights. I have invited so many people, and whoever just shows up, as far as my friends that help me preach the gospel all year, I'm going to be bringing them up on the stage, and then I'm going to be preaching all three nights as well. Yeah. And so we're going to have tons of prophecy, tons of teaching. It's going to be a time of alignment. We have several dinners. We have several luncheons. We even have a star party. You can sign up for as much as you want to. Mm-hmm. If you are a part of our ODX family, if you are a stage two or stage three person, if you signed up for it, we have a special event for you, and it filled up. I think it filled up, and it actually sold out. So it would be
the first night.
Yeah, and that's free. That's free for people that aren't, but it's already filled up. So it's like, wow, we have so many people. By the way, did you join us in stage two or stage three last year? Did you do that? Hey, thank you for that.
Man, Tabitha is actually celebrating her 1-year anniversary today on ODX.
Way to go, Tabitha. Call you blessed. Tabitha, do you have a copy of Numbers That Prophesy? Because I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Whether you do or whether you don't, I'm going to write this out to you right now.
That you can't do that one.
Why?
Because read the back of it. It's the media.
That's the actual one for you.
Yeah.
Oh, we can get another. Look, I was you, I'd want this one. It says media team copy.
That is a limited edition. Yeah, only one of one.
You know what? I'm going to write out. I'm going to sign a book to Tabitha right now.
That's cool. Tabitha. Happy 1 year.
Happy 1 year. Happy 1 year. Happy 1 year.
She does not have your book. So hey,
Tabitha,
I'm sure
if you could inbox us your info, we could send you that.
Yep, or I'm sending you this one.
Right if on. You're close by.
Okay, so what is our first picture we have that's coming up? What is our first picture? Let me see it.
Oh, that's okay. A great one.
So we know what this one is right on. And by the way, what is the date today? It is 1/29. That's what I said, 31st. And what is the year?
24.
Okay, got it. Yeah, a little bit of Joe Biden for you right there. Okay, thank you. So this picture is when I was reunited with this beautiful 15-year-old little girl. Mm-hmm. We literally had pulled her out of the Rio Grande River 4 months before this picture was taken. She was 9 months pregnant. And Suwanami set it up when I was down there with Eric Steckelback, and we actually got it on tape. We got this moment on tape where this little girl walked into the room, and I was so happy to see her. And then, by the way, I gave her a phone so that she could never lose contact with us again. That's her holding her phone. And I want to tell you something funny that happened. This is terrible. But a few months later, I was somewhere, and I was with Suwanami. I was in Durango, Mexico, with Suwanami. Mm-hmm. We were in a bulletproof glass car, riding around with all those machine guns, going from one place to another place. Wow. We were rescuing kids and meeting rescued kids. And she called, and she's like, she's freaking out, like, what's happening? What's happening? Like, why do you call me on this phone? And she said, I just got robbed and somebody stole my phone.
No way. Mm-mm.
And we were like, what? And she was like, but Papa Troy gave it to me. And so she had no idea I was in the car. And Suwanami said, you know what? He's sitting right here. And she put me on FaceTime right there. And I was like, little girl, get you a new phone. It's okay. Wow. It's all right. Yeah, she said she was walking down the street, and somebody just pushed her and took her phone away from her and ran off, you know?
Wow.
It's like, wow, that punk. That punk has no idea that little girl's got a dad, and you better be careful.
Yes.
But anyway, I promise, she lives in a safe place. That could happen anywhere. She's got a beautiful apartment. She lives with a girl in her 20s, and her baby is great. But yeah, that was a very special moment. That Fisher-Price stuff down there is where we did a baby shower for her baby, because she didn't get one, because she was busy being a slave the whole time she was pregnant. And so she got to
swim
across
a river.
Yeah, that tried to swim, 9 months pregnant.
I just can't imagine. I cannot imagine.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, that's the moment I was reuniting with her. That was an amazing moment in the year of 2024.
And that also is I Can't Talk Today, the documentary, Not On Our Watch.
You talk good. There's nothing wrong. You talk a lot better than Ben.
People can watch that documentary. For those who haven't seen they can go to ODX and watch there. And it's also on our YouTube. Mm-hmm. So if you're watching on YouTube, maybe YouTube is the place, then you can watch it there. But we have it on ODX.
And it's called Not On My Watch.
Not On My Watch.
Yeah. So if you want to, guys, do that. And then when you go to YouTube, if you watch it on YouTube, share it.
Share it
across all your platforms. Please do that. Write something about that. And please do that. And that will help us tremendously.
And I mean, for me personally, you know, and I said this the first night that I saw the documentary, I wanted to share it immediately just because I felt so proud to be like, this is the church. This is the family that I'm a part of. This is what we are doing. Like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And I think that was something that was so cool about the documentary, is it really highlighted the depth of the work that we do. And also the heart that you and Pastor Leanna have, how you guys got started, and just from how God took your heart for rescuing kids. And now, you know, how it's gone from that, just like a passion and wanting to help save people, to what it is now. We're saving our 11,000, now 12,000 child this year. Yeah. So, for sure, like, share it. Be proud to share it. I'm sure you'll feel the same way. I know. If you
I've watched it so many times, and then
it's so good.
My parents flew in, and I'm like, Dad, look what Pastor Troy did. And he's like, we were crying, Pastor Troy.
Yeah.
We've heard the stories, we've seen it, and we see what happens.
Yeah.
But it's like hearing it for the first time, and it's like the Lord just bringing that awareness within us also as parents.
Yeah.
And what can we do for those that don't have a voice and to be a rescuer? And we literally sat in our living room and we're crying our eyes out, not because we know you or we literally felt Jesus while you and Pastor Leanna talked. And like she said, it's such an honor and such a blessing to see what God is doing.
Yep.
And you know, crazy. We love you, but.
Oh, I know you love me. You ought to love me.
Yeah, I do love you. Yeah.
I tell everybody, I only know a couple of people that don't love me, and they're all stupid.
Do you love your dad?
What?
Say it.
Well, guys, if you have not yet seen that, man, you can go to ODX. It's free. Go there and watch it. Or you can find it on our YouTube channel, and please share that and let people know about that. And let people know how you support our ministry and how you pray for us and how you stand with us.
Yeah.
That's a really big deal.
Because you're a part of this. Yep. You know, you may not be the one that's going on the trip with Pastor Troy, but if you sow into this ministry, if you're part of our ODX family, you are sowing into this.
Amen.
This is your reward. You know, my father-in-law, Paul Wilbur, always says, like, if you're partnering, if you're standing with, the reward is for you too.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, you're a part of this. So watch it and be proud of the work that you're involved in as well.
Amen. Praise God.
Ben, I know that we're telling everybody, if you have a question or if you have a major comment or question and that you want me to address on this last episode, if you'll type out ?, and then your question, we will get to that here within just the next few minutes. Yeah. We're going to be filled in questions. So guys, we have another picture. This is another one of my favorite picks for the year 2024.
Aww. Oh, that was amazing. One.
That, my friends, is Uganda, East Africa. And that is the Leanna Brewer Legacy Center that we opened up this year. We have three of those. There are three of these. And each one of them, guys, we educate 1,000 children a day. And we fully fund the teachers, we fully fund the lunches, we fully fund all of their uniforms and all of their stuff. And like, okay, well, is it that big of a deal for these kids to get an education? I want to tell you, it is a big deal. And not only that they're getting an education, but they're safe all day long because they are with us.
Amen.
When those kids stay in the village, and this was a big part of the international lie of the whole COVID thing, which was a lie. It was ridiculous. It was straight out of the pit of hell that everybody's locked down. Okay, well, that looks like one thing in Philadelphia. But let me tell you what it looks like in Uganda. It means that for over a year, kids are not allowed to go to school, just like here in the United States. It also means that for over a year, they do not have access to the police. They don't have access to the hospital. They don't have access to stores. And all those kids, whenever we, after Uganda finally opened up and we went down deep into our villages, every teenage girl that was in there was pregnant.
Wow.
And we're just like, and we're talking about 12-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 13-year-olds, the 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, all of those girls that had to stay there at their house. There was some monsters that went through those villages and they took advantages of those. And so we actually picked one of those villages and we're like, let's build a school and let's get 1,000 kids into this school. and let's make this part of our legacy. So that's the Dr. Leanna Brewer Legacy Center, and that was the day that we opened it up.
I mean, that's an impressive building, too.
Oh, look, it is.
I know.
It's incredible.
It's nicer than the Open Door Church campus.
Wow.
It is. It's beautiful. It's nicer. It's way bigger than our church. Wow. Way bigger. And yeah, it's pretty daggum cool. There's nothing like that in the Hotoro Kingdom. There's nothing like that.
Wow.
The Queen Mother came out. The King and the Queen Mother came out. When the Queen Mother saw what it was we had built in their kingdom, we're talking about the, you know, she's an African Queen Mother. She started bawling. And she's like, I cannot believe you guys did this. And we're like, well, we've been actually doing this for almost 30 years and we have a couple more. You want to see them? Like, yeah. She's like, I had no idea. So she's a good friend of ours. That's we're glad to know the royalty over there. Awesome. And we're glad to help them fight trafficking by serving, protecting, and raising their kids.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
All right, Ben. We're gonna go to questions. So right on. Who's got a question for me here? Before we go to that picture, who's got a question?
I have a couple, but Ben has a couple. Go ahead.
Okay. So Angela says, did you get the coffee mug with the gun on it?
Did I get the coffee mug with the gun on it?
Yeah, the one sitting in your office.
Yeah, I stole it.
Yep.
It's mine. It's mine. If you guys are like, hey, will you
please... No, she said she sent you one.
Oh, okay. Oh. Thank you very much.
On that other note.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. You did steal one.
Thank you. Did steal one.
I'm very, very, very grateful. I tend to steal everybody's mugs. I steal glasses and mugs, and I don't mean to be like that. I love Jesus, but I do tend to walk off with those things. So, yes, you got another one here.
Another one is Kim says, is the horoscope godly?
No, the horoscope is not godly, okay? The horoscope is not godly. The horoscope is demonic. The horoscope is the devil. You do not want to follow the counsel of witches and demons. However, that's not the same as the zodiac. Okay, zodiac is different.
No, it's not.
No, it's completely different. So the horoscope is the discerning of demons and the counsel of demons through the zodiac. God Almighty created the zodiac. He did not create the horoscope. He created the zodiac. The Hebrews do not call it the zodiac. They call it the Maseroth. In the Bible, it's called the Maseroth. God Almighty tells Job to refer to the Maseroth if he wants to know what's going on. If God Almighty asks you the questions about the stars in the heavens, I promise you it's not because he's cheating on himself. And so, yeah, the horoscope is not good. Listen, there's a couple of reasons why you don't want to consult that, but let me just throw this out to you and Pastor Troy, you're all about the signs in the heavens. Yeah, I'm all about the signs in the heavens. I'm not about the horoscope. If you consult that word, let me tell you how they entered this curse into your life. They will say, hey, this is going to happen, and then you come into agreement with it. And then they'll say, this is going to happen, and you come into agreement with it. Then they speak a curse into your life, and then you're subject to it. And there's literally a demon released into your life through those kinds of things. Now that I've said that, though, I'm not scared of the zodiac at all because God Almighty created the zodiac. Mm-hmm. There's 88 constellations within the heavens, and there's only 12 of them that the sun passed through. We did a video on that yesterday.
Yep.
And Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 says that he created those things. Are you ready? For signs, seasons, days, and years. Look it up. It's Genesis 1, verse 14. That's a great question. Thank you so much for asking that question.
Did you see the one about Jimmy Carter?
I'm going. I have.
You've got millions.
Well, let's go. So, what is one on Jimmy Carter? What is that one?
I didn't write down who it was, but there were a couple people that had asked about your thoughts on Jimmy Carter's death at 100 years old. Susan Stevens and Ashton Carter also said he was the longest living ex-president. Do you have any thoughts on that? Prophetic thoughts or just thoughts on his passing?
It's so funny because him and Joe Biden are so much alike. And prophetically, except for he was a professing Christian, Joe Biden is not. And so they're so much alike. And then as soon as he dies, Joe Biden becomes the oldest politician alive.
Wow.
As soon as he dies. It's like, whoa, he outlived all the other presidents. He lived to be 100 years old. And then it fell upon Joe Biden. And who knows where he's wandering around at right now. You know, he's just getting back from another one of his vacations. Do you know that he spent, out of his 4 years in office, he spent 1 year, 3 months on vacation?
Wow.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's the biggest disgrace of a president. I mean, I don't know how in the world that joker ever got in legally.
I heard like some quote of Trump saying something that was the only thing that Biden can do that he can't do is sleep.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know how Joe Biden. It just made me laugh.
20 hours a day, right on?
Oh my goodness.
Well, with all that said, you know, like I have some mixed thoughts on Jimmy Carter, and my mixed thoughts kind of go like this. I think that God Almighty sent Ronald Reagan to save us from Jimmy Carter.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I truly believe that. Jimmy Carter was elected in a political fervor, and I remember the election of Jimmy Carter, and I remember the big debates within our family and all those kinds of things. I was in middle school, and that was right on the heels of the Nixon thing. Okay, so Jimmy Carter came out, and he announced that he was a born-again Christian, and that was during the Jesus movement, and everybody was so excited to have somebody in the White House that acknowledged Jesus, that professed to be a born-again Christian, that was a decent human being. And everybody's like, man, we trust this guy. And as soon as he became president, and again, he was elected by Christians, the first thing he did was he turned against Israel. And he literally became the enemy of Israel. I mean, he went straight to Yasser Arafat and said, let's me and you become buddies. Hey, Israel, if y'all would just give up your land and turn it over to the Philistines, everything will be awesome. I mean, the Palestinians, everything will be awesome. And then I want to tell you, he didn't stand for the church. He didn't stand for America. He didn't stand for Israel. I think he was a decent man, but he was still a Democrat.
Yeah. Wow. That's
you asked.
Yeah.
So there you go. One. Yes, ma'am. What do you got?
So, Bill, I guess that's how you say it. Are we meant to be part of a specific church?
All of us are a part of a specific church. Yeah. Amen. So it's like, okay, Lloyd, so let me, I understand the context of what you're asking that, but hey, but let me give everybody here really good news. And let me tell you that the church that you're a part of, which is the body of Jesus Christ, okay? And I'm about to tell you a little bit about the difference between the body and the church, okay? But they're both the same thing. In one way, Shay, we are living stones as the temple of God. Amen. In another way, we are members of the body of Jesus. Mm-hmm. One is rigid and never moves. The other one is fluid and always changing. Mm-hmm. And we have to be both of those things at the same exact time, meaning there are some things that we do not give up. Like, I know God is good. I know Jesus is the way. There is no other way. I know this. I know that. And I am rigid on those things. But then when it comes to our relational development, we're constantly flowing and moving, and that's where we are the body. Amen. Okay? So we have to live in the paradox of those two things at the same time. Man, that's brilliant, by the way.
It is.
But no, it's something I think about a lot. I thought about this a lot. What does it mean to, as a church leader of a local body church, you know, what does it mean to be a part of the church? And I've got good news for every single Christian and tell you this. You're part of the same body that Peter and Paul were a part of. You're part of the same body that the five Marys in the Bible were a part of. You're part of the same body of Polycarp. You're part of the same. It's not the body that you and I are a part of transcends time and space. And it is the body of Jesus. And that's beautiful to me. That's wonderful. Now, when it comes to your local church, I want to just tell you this. And again, I'm a pastor. And so I'm obviously the church guy, although I'm the most non-churchy church guy. I mean, honestly, have you guys ever been around a more non-churchy pastor than me?
Yeah. I mean,
Darren Stott.
Oh, he's Mr. Church. Look at his haircut and his skinny jeans.
Well, I don't think we're, I don't know. Like, what do you mean? Can you, oh, look.
I'm not a traditional guy. Yeah,
no, you're Darren. Not.
Look at him. Look at him standing next to that alien.
A traditional yeah.
Look at him standing next to
this. That's hilarious. This is a great picture.
That is a great picture. That's another one of my favorite pictures from 2024. That was in Charlotte, which, by the way, Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm coming to see you next week. Okay. I'm going to be in Charlotte, and I'm going to be a Sid Roth next week, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Look at that.
Okay. I am going to say this, and you guys need to hear me say this. I think that there are some people, I'm just going to say this generally, okay? Because nothing I say is going to make anybody happy, but I'm going to throw this out there and say this. Sometimes going to church works and sometimes it doesn't. What? You can't say that as a pastor. I dang sure can tell you that. You know, I was talking to a good friend of mine yesterday, and he was on staff at a church, and his little boy signed up for football, and he had to be a part of that. It's like, this might only be 1 year of my little boy's life.
Yeah.
And they had football on Sundays. And so they were a multi-church, multi-campus church. They also had Saturday services. They had Sunday night services. Yada, yada, until the staff said, look, I can't come on Sunday mornings. I got to coach my kid in football. And they're like, you're out. It's over. Okay, sometimes it's just as godly to take your kid hunting as it is to take your kid to church.
Amen.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just as godly to take your kid to a ball game as it is to take them to church.
I love that you're saying that.
I know.
It's totally true because it's the fact. And I'd be a straight up liar if I didn't say that, because I totally believe that. Now that I've said that, your lack of commitment in the kingdom to the body of Christ should not be a trophy to you.
Yes.
Like, hey, man, I love Jesus, so I don't need to go to church. No, you don't need to go to church. I mean, the world doesn't need you to be a part or be impactful to the rest of the body of Jesus. I mean, you certainly got nothing to offer any of the rest of us. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And it should not be your big trophy that you don't go to church together. Like, I don't join anybody because I can't get along with anybody. That's a problem. Yeah. And you're the problem. So I understand. I think that also too, this like we just had, like, Pastor Nathan just left us, right? Yeah. Okay. And he's a big part of our team. He couldn't have left in a better way. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's time for him to go do something else.
Yeah.
That's his decision. We don't rule and reign over him. Mm-hmm. And so, guys, it shouldn't be like it's the blood in the Crips. If you leave my church, I'm gonna hate you for the rest of your life.
I don't like that.
You guys know me. I am not like that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and
I'm not.
Circling back to what you said about the family, it's like I've been in churches and I've seen it so often where even the church leaders put the church before their families.
Not me.
And to me, like, our ministry as a parent,
it's our family.
My ministry is to my family first. That is my number one ministry.
Yeah.
And everything else should feed that and should, amplify that and work in partnership with. Yep. But when I see, you see so many pastors and their families are falling apart. Their kids don't have a dad because their dad is at the church more than he's part of their family. He cares about the church more than maybe he cares about being involved in their life. So to me, like, it's so nice to be somewhere where, like, you really get that. You get how important it is to pour into your grandkids and take them out on special things. And Pastor Leanna too, she's always, doing this with the grandkids, doing that, taking them to school. Like, yes, you guys are very present here. You're very present in all your ministries and all the things we do around the world, but your ministry is also to your family. And so that's,
you can do both at the same time. And, and that's the thing that really makes me mad is that people don't think that you can do both at the same time. I'm living proof. You guys are living proof.
I mean, we've seen my parents. So it's an encouragement for me. Like Shay says, coming from a pastoral family, how you are seeing you is honestly an encouragement for me, as in being ministry, a mom, a wife, a leader. And you give us a free will. Hey, if your child is sick, don't come in. You tell us, stay home with your kid. Or if he has something, and I love that, because now we get to teach that to our children and we don't have to be afraid of like, oh, I'm going to get fired.
Man, we love our church. We're committed to our church. I love our church. Mm-hmm. I think our church is amazing.
I'm
looking at all the year-end totals. There's no way any one of us could have done this. Mm-hmm. So there's the one thing I can do by myself. And then there's the other thing that we can do together through the power of partnership.
Amen.
And both of those things are so important. Us knowing Jesus in both of those things is a big part of our civic duty within the body of King Jesus. It's like our responsibility. Amen. Now that I've said that, if I have to choose between the church and my wife, I promise you, I will choose my wife. I told my wife that. Mm-hmm. I told my kids that growing up. Ben is sitting right here. whenever Ben and his brother and sisters were little, I would actually tell them, hey man, here's the deal. You guys are not allowed to grow up and be mad at me that I had a church. Mm-hmm. Like, well, because Daddy, you work all the time. If I had a Mexican restaurant, I would work all the time. I'm a grown man. Nah, I'm going to work.
Would work all the time, actually.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Sit back and enjoy the business.
So I'm like, hey, I'm going to work, and you can't be mad at me for that. In fact, I'm going to teach you how to work hard. You're going to work. Yeah. But then I also tell them this too. You can't be mad because you see mess in the church. Mm. So what? That'll keep you from going to Walmart.
Yeah. we're going to the movies or to the mall.
Yeah, that'll keep you from being a part of any of those things. Like, that's ridiculous.
That's people looking for an excuse to, to write something off. It's immature.
And and also too, people don't want to be held accountable for anything.
Yeah, they want to say, oh well, I can't go here because this person did that or that person.
I totally disagree with that person or this or whatever. Okay, do you expect your pastor to agree with you on everything, or is he supposed to bail on you?
Yeah.
And these things are fundamental parts of just being a grown up.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people just never grow up. And that's all it is. They're not emotionally mature enough to be able to handle real relationships with people.
And I think today's society caters to that mentality. Mm. It caters to the find your truth. Oh, if you don't fit in here, you disagree with this, find this. But the thing is you're right. Like, you're never going to 100%. I don't 100% agree with my husband on things.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Bail with him?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't agree.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with that. And listen, that's perfect because I say this all the time. Man, I'm madly in love with Leanna. We have a rock star marriage and I am not in agreement with her on everything.
Yeah.
You said that at our staff meeting, right? You said something
she's a
about
woman. I'm not supposed to be in agreement with her. I don't think like her. I don't act like her. I don't look like her. I don't prefer the things she prefers. Dude, if I wanted somebody that looked like me, acted like me, preferred everything I preferred, I would be a homosexual.
Yeah, you said that last time.
Also, that would be very interesting to see too, because your personality is so a million miles a minute. If there were two of you, in a relationship, it would just never.
Terrifying to think about.
I
know.
It would never work. Like
you remind me of kind. Oh, no, I'm not going to say nothing.
We might all move on to another.
No, like my father-in-law.
Next question. You love this question.
What is it?
Mila says, do you think stars are actually angelic beings or supernatural beings?
Not all stars are, but some stars are, without a doubt. Yeah, as a matter of fact, even the angels that showed up to announce the birth of Jesus showed up as the heavenly host. And you know what that means? Constellations.
Something I learned yesterday that you said when we were filming was that stars are different colors because of the matter that they're made of, right?
Yeah, okay. So shooting stars are.
Shooting stars, yeah.
Okay, so if you're looking at a regular star, if you're looking at a shooting star and if it's green, if it goes across the sky, it's green, that means it's made out of iron. So you can tell what it is because when you set it on fire, it burns a certain color, just like that's how fireworks work. Yeah. Know what kind of metal to put into it that makes certain colors. Yeah. Oh. So you can actually do the study. Yeah, that's how fireworks work. Now, here's what's also cool. If you're looking at stars and if you're like, how come that one is orange? And that one, Vega, which is the fifth brightest star, by the way, they're all numbered. All the stars are all numbered in the firmament as to what their luminosity is, how bright they are. Yeah, and it's cool to learn those things. I'm a bad geek. I'm a bad nerd.
I never knew how fireworks got their color. I don't know why
it's
thought
the different kind of metal that's in it. That's it.
That's great. Well, now, if I see fireworks tonight on New Year's Eve, I'll know.
You can actually look up the chart that was yellow and red. Oh my gosh, it must be whatever
that's
that is.
Cool. That's amazing.
Anyway, okay, but here's the deal. I want you to imagine this. I'm going to ask you, okay? I'm going to ask you just because you love it when I ask you hard questions. If there is a star that is orange and right beside it is a star that is blue and right beside that is a star that is white, what do you think that would tell us? Do you have any idea?
Immediately when you said, I just thought of America.
No, you're thinking about prophetic.
Okay, I'm prophetic.
I'm just talking about
prophetic. You've trained me well.
I'm not talking about prophetic. It means man's inhumanity towards man.
For what?
No, I'm just talking about, how about this? Ben, I'm going to ask you a question,
Maybe he would.
I've got three Bic lighters, and this one has an orange flame. This one has a blue flame. This one has a white flame. What does that tell you about those three lighters?
How hot each fire is.
That's right. It's a temperature difference. Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if I'm looking
What's the hottest?
White.
White.
So if I'm looking at it, and that means it's a newer star. But if it's orange, that means it's an old star and it's lost a whole lot of its heat.
That's cool.
The darker the color, the colder the heat.
Interesting.
I feel like we're getting schooled today. I feel like we have entered.
These are all my star parties.
I know.
We are your students.
I have suffered through this as a child.
Yeah, you're like,
you still haven't learned, man. But you did. But you did do that question very well.
Yeah, we can learn. You could teach me that, and I could teach you the prophetic.
So, I mean, if I've got a blowtorch and it's blue, and I start a fire over here and it's orange, which one is hotter? The blue, blowtorch is, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So that's what it is, man, when you're looking at...
By the way, Henrik, you can actually go and look up Looking Up. He does have a book on this kind
of stuff. I do have a book on all this stuff. It's called Looking Up.
That's so cool.
Okay, another question, please.
Okay.
Another good question is Aloha says, can you please write a book of each miracle you see every year?
Wow.
No. Because the world could not contain the books. By the way, that's from the end. That's from the end of the book of John. Wow, what do you mean by that? Aloha? You mean like, hey, for every like
all the major miracles you see in a year.
So
like just documentation.
Do you know that the very first book I ever wrote was a book that's called Miracles with a Message? And it was my favorite miracles. I'm talking about, I wrote this book like 30 years ago. Okay. And it was my favorite miracles I had ever seen up until that point and what I learned from it. And that was my very first book. And it's called Miracles with a Message. I ought to do like a revision of that and just go, you know what? Now that I'm pushing 60 years old and I've been in ministry for 40 years and what are my favorite miracles and what did I learn from it? But yeah, that's probably a pretty good idea, actually.
There you go.
Oh,
there
it is.
Miracles with a Message. So it's like, why do you have a little girl in a red dress and why do you have that? Because my sister, Missy, was supposed to be on the plane that crashed at DFW Airport. In fact, we thought she was on the plane when it crashed and she had missed the plane. And so we had no idea. This was way before cell phones and she couldn't call us and tell us. And my brother-in-law actually was going, he worked at DFW, was actually going through the wreckage looking for her body.
Oh my goodness.
And the miracle of how that happened was incredible and how she survived that was absolutely incredible. So yeah, right on, right on.
Speaking of stuff like that, Henrik also asks, is mother a rank in the kingdom? Because whenever Jesus turned the water into wine, Mary said unto the servants, do whatever he says.
Well, let me say this. Without answering, is mother a rank in the kingdom? There's definitely an anointing to be a mother. But let me talk to you about that one specific verse, okay? That one specific verse is this. Out of all the last recorded words of Mary... Those are the last recorded words of Mary. Even though she's mentioned throughout the life of Jesus, she is even at the cross. And then she is also found among the 120 in the upper room in the book of Acts. But no more words are recorded of Mary. One of the things I was going to do today, which we never got to, was I was actually going to go through the famous last words of biblical people. And those are the last words of Mary. So whatever the last words are in the Bible of somebody, it actually defines them. And the last words recorded by Mary is, it's all about him. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. That's a good testimony to have.
Since we didn't get to the full thing, I'm curious off the top of your head, what are your, when you think of your favorite famous last words, whether it's a biblical character or someone in history, if there was like one you could highlight before we go, what would that?
I am actually going to, one of the things that I'm fascinated with, and by the way, we got to fix this thing. This thing keeps falling. It keeps falling. I keep trying to prop it up, and it always does that.
Okay.
Taylor, will you work on this for me? Will you get this thing propped up for me? Thanks, buddy. I have so many famous last words of people because it's just a fascinating study. I want to know what the last words of people and what they said. And was it intentional or was it, you know, was it something intentional or was it something that just came out of their heart or their spirit or what was those things? Like a person that was very ungodly. He's a wild homosexual. He is a big time entertainer. He was like a hedonist, a guy by the name of Oscar Wilde. Okay. He dies in San Francisco. And the last words he ever spoke was either that wallpaper goes or I do. That's funny.
We have your favorite famous quote right here.
Okay, awesome.
Yep, it's right there.
Okay, is it?
So yeah,
that,
it's right there.
No way.
Okay, yeah. I'm like, you know what, dude? I hope that you discovered Jesus because that is
funny. That was funny. You deserve it.
I mean, he's trying to go out with a joke, you know? And I'm like, now that is funny.
Wow.
I'm just telling you right now, that is funny. Of course, there's this guy named Wilson Meisner. Mm-hmm. Now, this guy was a famous gambler. He was a famous, he was a lot like Hemingway. Okay. He was a whole lot like Hemingway was. And then the brother has a stroke and he dies out. And then he wakes up.
Connie put the actual quote. It just says, "This wallpaper and I are in a fighting duel to the death. Either it goes or I do."
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what I was laughing at.
What I was saying before you so rudely interrupted me, Ben, was that this guy had had a stroke. And he has a stroke and he dies and he's almost dead. And he's been basically brain dead for a long, long time. And he wakes up and there's a priest that is reading last rites over him. And he said, "Son, you must confess your sins to me." And he said, "Why should I talk to you? I've been talking to your boss." And then he killed over and died.
That's amazing. Wow. That is amazing.
Come on. That is great. Yeah,
that's amazing.
I have a whole bunch of favorite ones here. So also too, some of them are just really, really, really scary. But dude, again, Oscar Wilde, Connie's right. That is a I'm in a duel to the death with this horrible wallpaper. Either it goes or I do. And he's gone.
Oh my God.
That's freaking funny.
That is funny. That is
funny. So awesome.
Man, I like Douglas Fairbanks. Douglas Fairbanks, world famous actor. You know, man, he falls down. They reach over and they grab a hold of him. And they said, "Are you okay, Douglas?" And he says, "Never better." And then he died. That's funny.
No, that's great.
But they don't all have to be funny. They can be like really profound.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got some in here. You guys are looking at it. What's one of your favorite ones that stands out?
The Jesus one. Finished John 19:30.
Okay. Yeah.
That's pretty profound. Powerful.
That's a pretty good one. That ain't a bad one. What's
Leonardo
another
da Vinci's? I mean, it just hits me because it's like we know him as one of the most epic artists of all time. Mm. And he says, "I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have."
Yep.
Which to me is a sad thought to be
thinking. It's a very sad thought. So there's a lot of people like da Vinci, and I got a whole list of them. Are some of the most overachievers you've ever seen in your life. And the last words they say on their deathbed is, "I didn't finish the things I started and I didn't do near enough."
Yeah.
Wow. That's not good. That's not good. I would tell you one of the most amazing though here on this last day of 2024 to me that is crazy is 50 years to the date of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. 50 years to the date. There's 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence. They were all dead except for two, and it was Jefferson and Adams, and they both died on that day.
What?
July the 4th, 50 years to the date. And the last, Jefferson had died, and word hadn't got to Adams yet, and the last words of President Adams was, "Well, at least Jefferson is still alive." Wow. How he said it then was, Jefferson yet lives. But he didn't. He had already died. And he didn't know. They both died, Adams and Jefferson, 50 years to the day of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and they were the last two signers that were still alive.
Wow.
In your face. Mm. Yeah, see, it's important to the Lord, man, that you finish well.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
I was just looking up because I was curious. I don't know. All this had me thinking of... I mean, it's kind of sad, but Oscar Schindler, because from the movie Schindler's List, what sticks with me, one of the last words in the film was like, I didn't do enough. Like this pin could have been six. Anyway, I was trying to figure out what his last words were. Cause it seems like that same type of sentiment of Leonardo da Vinci, like I could have done more. And I just pray that we all, and for myself, you know, that like for me personally, like when I get to that point, I want to have a feeling, and I pray that I have a feeling of, God, I served you in every way that I could. Amen. I gave you what I had. I used the tools that you gave me. And I was a good steward of my time here. You know, I would pray that that's not my, I don't know. Just all this gets me thinking. So like, what would my last words be? You know?
Well, the reason why I first started thinking about this is the first year that Leanna and I were married is the last car wreck I was in. I've been in one car wreck my whole life, and it was the first year we were married. And that's pretty impressive for a guy who drives every day, all day long.
You do a lot of driving.
Exactly right.
I don't know how you do it.
So 1989 is the last time I was in a car wreck, and praise God, just God Almighty has just been so good to me, and just love the Lord for that. But with that said, I was on a bridge in downtown Fort Worth. We had played a gig in Austin, Texas, and I had to be at work. And the gig that I played at was a place called the Liberty Lunch. and the Liberty launch was on 6th Street. It didn't get over with until 2 a.m. in the morning. And then we prayed for everybody at the bar until like 3:30 a.m. And then I had to be at work at 7:30 or whatever time, and that was in downtown Fort Worth.
Wow.
So we drove like maniacs from Austin to try and get to Fort Worth so that I could be there on time. It's supposed to be a four-hour drive. I made it just a couple of hours. I was just, and plus I hadn't slept. Yeah. I've been up, you know, we did a five-hour set that night.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You play all those bars, man, those are five-hour sets.
Yeah.
It's craziness. And so, like, and I was exhausted. Well, I got to the Mixmaster in Fort Worth, and right as I was pulling up there, I'm just, you know, slow to react. And I just realized all the traffic is stopped in front of me. And I like slam on the brakes. Leanna was asleep next to me. And I was like, and my bumper barely kissed the car in front of me. Just went, and I went, oh. And I was like, I'm sorry. The guy was turning around. He was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm so sorry. And then I could tell he was looking past me and his eyes were that big. And I looked up in the rearview mirror and all I could see was this guy trying to stop this big old truck.
Goodness.
And he hit us and it is a miracle it didn't kill us. He hit us so hard. And we were on a bridge way above. No. And it's a miracle it didn't knock us off the bridge.
Oh, my gosh.
It knocked us underneath the car in front of us. And I'm going to tell you.
What did you say?
I said something really bad.
Oh. Okay. Maybe you shouldn't have said it.
That was funny.
I was a young man. This was 1986. 1989 is when this was. I was a young man. And we were in a terrible, terrible car wreck. And the last word that I spoke before that car hit me was not a good word. And I was so convicted over it because I loved Jesus so much. Yeah. And I was like, the last words I speak will not be a cuss word unless I'm cursing the devil.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I'm like, I was like, I need to get prepared for this. And so this was before the sham Al Gore gave us the internet. And this was before all of that. And so, man, I went down to the public library and do you have any book on last words? They went, yeah. And I was like, are there any more books? And then I just started buying books on last words.
Wow.
That's cool.
And I was like, Lord, I want to pray into this. I want to sow into this. Because just like what you just said, I mean, I feel sorry for Da Vinci.
Yes, yeah, okay. Totally.
The last words of Alexander Graham Bell. Are you ready for this? So little done, so much more to do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Considered himself a failure. It's like, I really didn't get anything done. And guys, Da Vinci never finished anything. Even the Mona Lisa, it's not finished. Wow. Do you know about all that?
No.
Look at it. You guys just type up, is the Mona Lisa finished? And it's terrible. There's drawings all over it. It's like, that's the greatest painting ever. Yeah, he was great at starting things, but he was not good at finishing things. He didn't even finish the Mona Lisa.
So Anna Barber decided to grace us with her.
Oh, Anna. I saw her in church. Today. I saw her in church on Sunday. And by the way, okay, when you see me say hello to Anna Barber on Sunday, that's because she drove over 4 hours to church.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
That's amazing.
When she's not in jail.
Exactly. No, all joking aside, love you, Anna. I hope you're doing good. Aww. She wants to know what the last words of Sam Houston were.
Mm. Oh, gosh. I can tell you I do not know what the last words of Sam Houston were, but I know what his last public words were. And I want to tell you, it's the last, I just now remember the last words. Yeah. Go ahead.
Is it true? I don't know.
It's terrible.
Texas, Texas, Margaret, Texas, or Texas, Texas, Margaret.
Yep.
That's what it says.
Okay, let me tell you what that's in context of.
Yeah.
He begged Texas to not join the Civil War.
Mm.
He begged him. And the last speech that Sam Houston ever made is he was standing out in public in Huntsville, Texas, and he was standing out there going, guys, we will not join the rebellion against the United States. We will not join the Civil War. It's going to throw us and cast us off into a horrible darkness. And somebody threw a rock at him. It hit him. He went into the house and he drank himself to death, considering himself the greatest failure on the planet Earth.
Wow.
Because we joined the Civil War. And he's powerful. Like, man, yeah. Now, I can tell you also have, if I would have been preaching this today, I also have a long list of some of the most beautiful last words anybody ever spoke. Yeah, there's some funny stuff. Like one guy gets executed and they're like, step up here. I'm going to hang you. You need to step up here on top of this, you know, box. And he's like, is it safe? That's funny. All right. Also, too, there is the guy facing a firing squad. And they're like, you have any last requests? He said, yeah, bulletproof vest would be nice. That's funny. But there's also
Karl Marx. Do you know his last words?
No,
Karl Marx?
What?
Last words are for fools who haven't said enough. I thought that was pretty good.
You know what, man? I like the last words of W.C. Fields. W.C. Fields, like you probably don't know who that guy was, but if you remember W.C. Fields, W.C. Fields said, they said, are you okay? Are you all right? Are you okay? And he was laying there and he said, on the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. And then he died. That is so W.C. Fields to me, man. That is so classic. Mm-hmm. But there are some people, many people, who their last words were, they could see heaven's gates.
Wow.
They could see Jesus. I had a lady, Sister Glasgow, who I loved. And I think Ben probably remembers Sister Glasgow.
I do.
And she literally came out. I was praying for her and I was crying. And she'd been in a coma. She literally came awake and she said, because I kept saying, don't be afraid, Sister Glasgow. Don't be afraid. All your kids are saved. All your grandkids are saved. We all love you so much. You did such a, and she woke up and she said, Troy, I am not afraid. And that lady flatlined right there in front of
Whoa.
Her.
Whoa.
She should not have been able to talk. I'll tell you what the last words of my grandfather was.
What was it?
Because he spoke unto me. Mm. Very last words of my grandfather. The very last words that my grandfather ever spoke to me was because I'd promised him that if my family ever put him in an old folks home, that I'd come and bust him out. Mm-hmm. And my family put him in an old folks home, and rightfully so, because he had Alzheimer's and he was really bad. And I went to bust him out. And I told Leanna, we got to do the jailbreak. We're going to have to, because I'm not going to be able to live with it. I won't be able to live with it.
Wow.
And so I was going to bust him out. I went into his room. I mean, he couldn't talk. He was nonverbal. He's done.
Yeah.
And got him in a wheelchair, was wheeling towards front door. Leanna was sitting in the truck. You know, again, we were kids. She had the truck going. She's sitting in the truck crying. She's horrified, terrified. Yeah. And nurse came, so I had to hang a left. I went into the little courtyard, and I was just sitting there. I kept looking You're at the front door, man. I'm looking, looking. Wow. And all of a sudden, Papa grabbed my hand. He said, hey, Hoss. I said, yes, sir. And he said, do you remember that promise I made you give me that if I ever was in an old folks home that you'd bust me out? I said, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Leanna's out there with the car right now. I said, Papa, that's what I'm doing. He said, I was just scared.
Wow.
He's like, you know, listen, man, this is a nice house. This place is great. I was just scared, and I'm not scared anymore. And then he quit talking.
Whoa.
It's one of the nicest things Jesus has ever done for me.
Wow.
Last words that he ever spoke to anybody was to me, and he said, I'm not afraid anymore.
Wow.
My dad, when my daddy died, the very last words he ever spoke was to me. And what my dad said right in front of my daughter, Rhema, was he said, today's the day. You're a good boy. I'll see you on the great day. I'll see you on the great day.
So
and then daddy died.
Connie says that one of her favorites is Hugh Latimer's Play the Man.
Play the Man. Shazak. That's a good one, Connie. That's a really good one. Doesn't it just make you want to finish well?
Yeah,
and
totally.
Be determined, like, I want to live the kind of life. I mean, look, I got to hear my daddy's last words, and his last words were, son, I'll see you on the great day.
Amen. Wow.
Yeah.
That's part, yeah.
You would have loved my dad.
He was the sweetest man ever.
I mean, he would have loved my dad.
Well, I can say I feel that when I think back at the year, we are finishing the year really well.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of you.
Why are you tearing up?
I don't know. I am.
What is happening?
I don't know.
Shut up.
I'm happy Ben's here.
Leave us alone.
We're proud of you too, Ben.
I don't know. I'm happy you're here.
No, but I just
getting uncomfortable.
You're supposed to be uncomfortable.
No, but I feel, you know.
Yeah.
Not that it matters what I feel, but we finished the year well, and I just want to say you finished the year well. Proud of you. Proud to be on your team. Thank you for allowing us to be part.
Thank you. Well, you've been a huge addition to us this year. Thank you so much.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, now we got 2025, and here we go.
I'm excited.
Guys, I want to tell you, you need to be excited about the year 2025. And if you're like, well, I don't really know why, then join me tomorrow at 1 o'clock as I give you the prophetic word for the year to come. It's Pastor Troy's prophetic word for 2025. Yeah. Man, if you guys go to my Facebook page, if you do that, you can actually share that and let people know, man, to watch us at 1 o'clock. I want to encourage you also to go to my YouTube and to watch, it's not called Not On My Watch. Yeah, Not On My Watch, and watch that thing. And we're going to be having a watch party here at church here pretty soon. And we're going to be making a big deal out of that at Open Door Church. And guys, we're going to be making a big deal out of all the kids that we're going to rescue this year, like the over 600 kids that we rescued this last year. Praise God. And there's no telling how many kids we're going to take home. There are kids that are literal slaves right now and young women that are literal slaves right this moment that are counting on you and I to partner together and to go after them and to not get worn out and to keep on trucking and to keep on trucking. And friends, I'm going to tell you, we're going to do that. I'm about ready now to let you guys go. It's 2:20. It's about to be 2:22 prophetically.
Okay, 2:22. Come on.
And I think I'm going to turn this over to you, Ms. Shea. Yeah. And what do you have to tell us?
Yeah, well, we just want to let people know if you... just want some more information about joining our team, or maybe you want someone to just pray with or encourage you, you can call our 800 number 24 hours a day, 877-413-0888. You can join us as a partner there if you feel led to sow into this ministry. Maybe God's moving on your heart to do that. You can also find us at odx.tv. You can also mail us if you're into the snail mail thing. You can write us a letter. You can send us a donation to partner with us, however you want to do that. Send your prayer request that way if you want to as well. The address is right there on the screen. And we just want to thank you for joining us and for being a part of this very special family that we have. Rebecca, anything else?
Yeah. So don't forget about tomorrow, the prophetic word. We also have our Wednesday night service, 7 p.m. Pastor Troy is bringing
more of the
prophetic word in person. So if you are close by Burleson, if you are an hour, 2 hour, you're not going to want to miss this. I love what Pastor Troy says. It is important how we end, but I do believe it's important how we start the year too.
Yeah.
So come tune in. If you can't come, you can tune in at odx.tv. We'll be live on all our platforms. And also with everything that is happening, it's not just preachings. It's not just things, but this is a way that you're feeding your family. Mm-hmm. It's a way of, I go and look at different preachers and I love to see what God is saying, and what a better way than to help join Pastor Troy, what Pastor Leanna, what ODC, what TBM, Spark Worldwide, what we're doing here together.
Yeah.
It is impactful for the whole world to be aware. And I'm so ready. People are saying on ODX, I feel an anticipation for 2025. It's going to blow up. Mm-hmm. People are seeing fireworks. I just feel in my spirit that it's going to blow up even more, Pastor Troy. So we are ready and we take a stand. We get in the fight. Join us, ODX.TV. Also, TroyBrewer.com is another way that you can join us. And we are so excited.
Well, it is going to be a good year. It is going to be a good year. And we have more opportunity, you know, than we've ever had before. Mm-hmm. The only reason why we're taking care of 40,000 kids right now. I'm sorry, 4,000 kids 4, and not 40,000 kids is just partnership. That's it. So help me get the word out. Guys, call the number. Call 877-413-0888. And somebody in Tia's room over there is standing by right now. And I know that you girls are watching, and I love y'all.
We love you.
Guys, we have such an amazing bunch of prayer warriors in our calling center. And so call that, 877-413-0888. Today is the last day you can give to be a part of 2024, if that matters to your tax returns. Like, you shouldn't mention that. No, I'd mention it. Tell you this, man, if you need a tax break, man, if I was you, man, I would take advantage of that if that's something that is helpful to you. Also, too, if you want to write in something snail mail, as long as it's dated today and it goes into the mail today, you'll still be able to use that on your tax form. And that's P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas,
76097.
Yeah, 097, which that's a different zip code here. We actually need like 5 because, man, we got... Our mail here takes like 10 million years. You know, guys, at the beginning of December, we sent out my book to like several hundred people. And yesterday I'm getting texts, hey, I just got your book today. I'm like, gosh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah. Honestly, a lot of stuff. We'll also, sidetrack, but there was a lot of stuff with the mail system, with Amazon and things like that. Yeah. There was like random strikes and that delayed a lot of stuff during the holidays. So it was really frustrating. Crazy. Actually. Yeah.
Well, I want to tell you, I'm good to my mail. My mailman is actually a woman and she comes out there in my house all the time. And she comes by, Ben lives next door to me. And anytime I see her, man, I'm always looking for a gift to give her. Oh my God, I need to find something to give the mail lady.
Aww.
You got to be good to those people, man.
The UPS guy knows me by my first name and last name.
I have never ordered anything on UPS my entire life, but I know.
It's Brandy has.
I know. Between your mama and your wife, King Jesus.
They're great.
They are great.
I understand them well.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you guys continue to be in prayer for me. Continue to be in prayer for the success and the victory of my book, Numbers That Prophesy. All that money goes to Troy Brewer. All that money goes to Troy Brewer Ministries. And we need a lot more partnership because, guys, we have so many new opportunities to rescue so many more kids. Yeah. This is one more way that we raise money to do that. Another thing, too, that you might consider doing in the year 2025 is actually partnering with us as a stage 2 member or stage 3 member at odx.tv, and you might consider that. Just guys, I love y'all so much. I'm so grateful. Ben Brewer, thanks, man, for joining me this whole year. It's been a good year, son.
It has been good. I'm ready for the next.
Yeah, let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Let's go.
Over 100 episodes over in 1 year.
Wow. Yeah. 100.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. Yeah. And I mean, that's just this. Yeah. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for you joining me all this year. Love you.
Love
grateful
you.
For you joining us this year. Love you.
Yeah.
And for you, my friends, man, I'm glad that you made it through the year 2024. Look at you. Look at what the Lord has done. Wow. All right, guys. Amen. I'll see you tomorrow as I deliver my prophetic word for the year to come at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. Join me right here. God bless you, everybody. Bye-bye.